You, Miss Mallie, take your Bible, please. Turn with me to the book of the Revelation, Revelation chapter number 12. In your Bible, right before the book of Concordance, the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter number 12. I want you to look there at one verse in particular, and certainly a couple of verses just prior to that, but this one verse is the one verse that we're going to remember tonight, I trust, when we go to our homes. And then we'll live all week long thinking about it. How do you overcome the devil? I want you to know there is a real devil. He's not someone that the church has made up to do advertising, you know, with and cause you to be afraid. But rather, he's a real personality. He is as real as God. He's not as big as God. He is an eternal being, and the rest of eternity, when he is cast into hell, he'll be there forever and ever. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. The Bible says that. Jesus said that. And I want you to know that he has been in the business of trying to harm you every moment of your life. He hates you. He hates your parents. He hates your children. He hates everything that God loves, and that means that he hates every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of this earth. But there is someone, some group that is so much in the center of his hatred and so much in the bullseye of his wrath that you and I need to be prepared. And that, of course, is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan hates the church. So here's my question for you. How do you overcome the devil? Well, Brother Maddox, I just ignore him. That's not good enough. How do you overcome the devil? Well, I just think good thoughts all the time. Just think good thoughts. Just think good thoughts. Just, you know, I mean, he's trying to get me to do something bad, and I'm just not going to do that. And I try to do good things instead of bad things. And, well, that sounds good. It's just not going to work. And so how do you overcome the devil? Well, preacher, I tell you what, I just grab hold of him, wrestle him down to the ground, just beat the devil out of him. Well, that's not going to work either. He's bigger than you are. He's stronger than you are. He will whip you. You don't have a dog's chance against the devil. So how in this world are we going to overcome the devil? Preacher, I tell you, I used to think that I'd be able to quit this cursing. I used to think I could quit this drinking. I used to think that I could quit this lying and cheating and stealing and all, but I will for a while, and then I just go right back to doing it. How is it that I do that? I'm going to tell you, it's because the devil's winning. And so I want to show you tonight out of the Bible how that you can overcome the devil. Let's stand together. Revelation chapter 12. Look there with me in verse number 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Now remember verse 11. How did they overcome him? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Father, I pray that you would bless your word. Lord, help us tonight that we might glean these truths that will help us in this battle with evil, this battle with Satan and the angels of hell. God, I pray that in some way we might be so instructed and motivated and stirred that tonight, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we might leave this place knowing that we do not have to accept defeat, but rather we can claim victory over the devil. We pray that in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Friend, I want you to know that the passage that we're reading is a prophetic passage, and it deals with what is going to happen, but it also deals with what has happened. There is a divine blending of history and prophecy in chapter 12, and we'll find out more about that in weeks to come on Wednesday night when we get here. But for the sake of the message tonight, I want you to know that there's some personalities that are introduced to us. The angels of heaven, one name in particular, his name is Michael. He is, of course, an archangel. The Bible says that there is another, and his name is the devil, or Satan. And we believe him to be Lucifer of the Old Testament. And so you and I would, in our minds, knowing the Bible doesn't say a great deal about angels, there are a lot of books that are written about angels. Billy Graham wrote a book about angels. Others have written books about angels. Lots of sermons about angels. Lots of Sunday school lessons about angels. The bottom line is we don't know a great deal about angels. We kind of believe, sort of, possibly, I don't know if I can make it any simpler than that, that there were three archangels in heaven. One was named Lucifer, one was named Michael, and one was named Gabriel. Nobody's told us that. We don't know that for sure. That's just conjecture. But we do know this. We know that one-third of the angels were cast out of heaven. You read that in chapter 12, as a matter of fact. The Bible tells us that in verse number 4, that is tell, that is the dragon's tell, drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman. That woman is talking about Israel. And, well, the Bible says that Satan was cast out of heaven. Well, then we come to this part of the passage that I read to you, and it's dealing with the tribulation. It's dealing with what's going to happen yet to come. And as a result of that, we read about the devil. He's in the world. He's gaining victory. The Bible calls him an accuser of the brethren. I've said this many times in this pulpit. One thing you never want to be is an accuser of the brethren. Have you ever found yourself, now wait just a minute before you look so pious. Have you ever found yourself doing this? Well, I just don't like what the preacher's doing. Nobody said amen to that, so no one has ever done that in this church, I'm sure. Well, I don't like what Brother Phillip's doing with the choir. I don't like the direction that Brother Donnie's taking us in outreach. I don't like what Jeff's doing. I'm not too fond of Diana's ministry. I don't care much for what Brother Eddie's done in the Sunday school. I don't care for the deacons in our church. Well, that was my own, that last one there. But you know, you can accuse. You can say, you know, he's too haughty, or he's too this, or she's too that, or they're too this, or that church is this, or so on and so on. And we can become an accuser of the brethren. We can say they don't do this and they don't do that. I want you to know. That's human nature, and many times we need to be reprimanded. There's no doubt about that as human beings. But I want you to understand, please be very careful that you're not just an accuser of the brethren. Because if you are, then you're more like Satan than at any other time in your life as a Christian. To be an accuser of the brethren, the Bible calls him that. The Bible says that he is an accuser of the brethren, and that he has accused them before God day and night. You read that in the book of Job. You'll read about Satan and how he is one who makes accusation, and how he accuses before God day and night. Well, the Bible teaches us seemingly here that these are people that have been in the tribulation, and they have died as a result of their faith. And so those martyrs now who are in heaven, their spirits are in heaven, they are saying this to God, and they're saying, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, and so on and so on and so on. And they talk about the accuser, this devil, and how that he has been cast down. But verse 11 says that those that were being accused by the devil, those that the devil was attacking, those that the devil was fighting, those that the devil was always trying to destroy their lives, it says concerning them, they overcame him in this way. Now here's what I know. I know that however they will overcome the devil is the same way that you and I overcome the devil. And it's the same way Old Testament saints would overcome the devil. It's the same way that that the first century church would overcome the devil. And friend, it's the exact way in your life, in my life, here in Shreveport, in Bossier City, Louisiana, that you and I can overcome the devil in our lives. It's very simple. If you'll just look at it, you can't help but see it. So for the church today and the tribulation saints tomorrow, there is a plan. There is a position that you and I hold that we can overcome the devil. Preacher, you know, chapters 2 and 3 talks about overcoming. And to them that overcome will I give this, and to them that overcome will I give that. Preacher, I want to be an overcomer. I want to be that person that overcomes. What does that mean? It means the guy that wins. You want to be the guy that at the end of the fight they hold your hand up and say you won. You want to be the person at the end of the game that there are more points on your side than the other team's side, the devil. You want to be the one that wins. You want to be the one that is left standing. And friend, to be an overcomer, to be victorious, this verse says there are three things, and it really wraps up the battle that the Christian has with the devil in a wonderful way. Number one, how do we overcome the devil? Well, the scripture says in verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. May I be quick to tell you that there is never going to be a victory in any Christian's life that is not dependent on the blood of the Lamb. There is never going to be a victory. Listen, you can't get to heaven without the blood of the Lamb. You cannot win a victory over Satan in any venue, at any time, at any situation. If you've been saved for 50 years and you're battling something right now with the devil, it is still going to be based on the blood. It is based on the foundation of how you came to Christ, how you know him, how you have relationship with him. And the Bible says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. What does it mean? Well, first of all, look at the basis of our salvation. Back there in Exodus chapter 12, the scripture tells us it was the night of the Passover, and the Lord instituted for Israel the Passover, and the Lamb was taken, and the Lamb without blemish, the Lamb without spot, and the Lamb was killed, and the blood of that Lamb was placed there on the doorpost. And then the Bible says that the death angel came through, and when the death angel came through in Egypt, that when he saw the blood, he would pass over that household, and the firstborn would not die. You know the story, and I know the story, and the Bible teaches us, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Friend, the scripture tells us that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. What is that all about? Is that something new to the New Testament? Not at all. But rather, it is that which typifies. It is that which goes all the way back there to the days of, to the days of the Passover. Let's go before that. All the way back to the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says that there were two people in the Garden of Eden. I dare not ask you who they were, but Adam and Eve in the garden. That's a disappointment for the preacher when you say, who was there? And people say, I don't know. But Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, well, they sinned. What happened after they sinned? Well, Brother Maddox, they died. They did. They died spiritually. And then what did God do? The Bible says that God killed an animal, and he took the blood of that animal, and he made them aware of the fact that the only way that you can come to God is by the blood. And the Bible says that that blood was shed, and the animal skins were given to Adam and Eve to cover their nakedness. And so now here we have Adam and Eve and now understanding the blood. How do I know that? Because when they raised their children, they taught them that there has to be blood in order to be able to be made to be reconciled to God. I know that because that when Cain came, he didn't bring a blood sacrifice. Abel did, and God said that he had respect unto Abel's sacrifice, but not unto Cain's, because Cain brought the fruit of his own hand, the work of his own labor, and the Bible tells us there was no respect for Cain's offering. Well, as you come through your Bible, you're going to find it's there, and it's at the Passover, and it's at every sacrifice in the tabernacle, in the temple, all the way through. You find the blood, and the blood, and it all points to when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, and he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The basis of our salvation is the blood. But now look at the buying of our salvation. The buying of salvation. In your Bible, it tells us that you're bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. It says that you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Friend, the Bible tells us that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but rather with the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. You were redeemed not with stuff, but rather you were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so the buying of our salvation, it took the blood of Jesus. I personally believe that the blood of Jesus was taken to heaven. I believe that. I personally believe that the blood of Jesus was taken to heaven. The blood of Jesus. Friend, there is what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. It is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was carried to the mercy seat in heaven. It was the blood of Jesus, as Hebrews talks about, that all of those sacrifices, all of the blood of the bulls and the goats and so on, none of that could take away sin. Only the blood of Christ could take away sin. And so all of that pictured what was to come. And Jesus Christ, our high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, our high priest forever, went into the Holy of Holies in heaven, and there he took his blood and placed it before the God of heaven. The Bible tells us that we see the basis of our salvation, the blood of the Lamb. We see the buying of our salvation, the blood of the Lamb. Then we see the bringing of our salvation on the cross. Jesus Christ is there at 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. All through the day, he is saying one thing after another. He says, Father, forgive them. He says, woman, behold your son. He said, I thirst. He said seven things altogether. And the next to the last thing Jesus said was this. He said, it is finished. Actually, in his language that he spoke that day, it was one word, and it was that word for victory. He said, tetelestai. It is finished. It's over. It's done. I mean, it's taken care of. What was done? What was over? What was finished? Friend, I want you to know, the blood had been shed, and your sins had been covered, and the account was now paid in full by the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you overcome the devil? Friend, you don't outsmart him. You can't outwit him. You don't overcome the devil by outrunning him. You don't overcome the devil by being more creative. He's more creative. You don't overcome the devil by any, you can't fist fight him or any of that. How do you overcome him? Well, number one, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. In other words, you look back and you realize and you recognize, am I saved? If you're not saved, friend, you don't have the blood of the Lamb. You're not saved if you haven't taken the blood of the Lamb and applied it to your heart. If you haven't taken the blood of the Lamb and applied it to your heart, well then, preacher, where is the blood? I've told you before, the blood's on the bottom of your feet. If you've never taken the blood of Jesus Christ and applied it to your heart, then the blood of the Lamb is on the bottom of your feet. How do you know? Hebrews says, chapter 10, of how much sore punishment you suppose they be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the blood of the covenant. Who have trodden underfoot the blood of the covenant and counted the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus as an unclean thing. Can you imagine? Can you imagine walking through life day after day from the time that you understood that Jesus loved you and died for you, from the time, whatever that is. Oh, Brother Maddox, that's when you're 12 years old. No. Some people don't reach that understanding until later. Some reach it much sooner. And so here you are, all the days from the time that you understood Jesus loved me and died for me on the cross, you've been walking through life. And every step that you've taken, you've walked on the blood of Jesus. Every step that you've taken, you've walked through the blood of Christ. Every step, as a youngster, as a young man, young woman, as a young adult, as a new married couple, there you are. And there you are in your 30s and your 40s and your 50s and your 60s. And there you are now. You are walking through the blood of Jesus, walking through the blood of Jesus, and then you die of a heart attack, and friend, you stand before God, and God says, let me see the bottom of your feet. And the bottom of your feet is dripping red with the blood of Christ. And what will God do? Two verses later says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so God will take that person who doesn't have the blood on his heart, but rather on the bottom of his feet, and God will take him and cast him as far away from himself as he can into that place called hell. The blood of the Lamb. How do you overcome the devil? Well, you overcome him with the blood of the Lamb. You have to be saved. But secondly, how do you overcome the devil? You overcome him with the word of their testimony. Look what it says. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You know, a testimony is a wonderful thing. If you're saved, you have a testimony. I used to hear things like this. I used to hear, well, I don't have a testimony like old so-and-so. What a dynamic testimony. You know, he was a drug addict. You know, old so-and-so there, what a testimony he had. I mean, he was, he held up that liquor store and went to prison, stayed in prison 7 years. And now, man, what a dynamic testimony. Preacher, I tell you what, I don't have.